Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. Today's shiur represents the beginning of a new perek, the 19th perek of Maseches Shabbos, perek Reb Elezer de Mila. As its name suggests, Mila, the perek will deal with a number of aspects of circumcision, the bris Mila. The Mishnah, Reb Elezer Omer, im lo hevi kli me'erev Shabbos, if a person did not bring the knife for the circumcision of the child from Friday to where the circumcision will take place, mevio b'Shabbos megule, he shall bring it on Shabbos in an exposed fashion so everyone can see it. U'b'sakona, at the historical times of oppression when the Gentiles had ruled against doing circumcision, mechaseu al pi edim, then it shall be brought, covered, with witnesses knowing what is covered, so that they can testify that it's the mitzvah knife, the knife for circumcision, and he will not fall under suspicion of violating Shabbos, namely of carrying things from one domain to another that otherwise would be forbidden. The Odoma Revelozer, Reb Elezer has another leniency, korsim eitzim lasos pechomen lasos barzel. One can cut wood, can chop wood for making a fire for the purpose of making the knife, the metal mila circumcision knife. All this on Shabbos. Klal Omar Rabbi Akiva, notice a change in name. Rabbi Akiva is a dissenting opinion, and he says, Kol melacha she'efshu la'aso yisoh me'erev Shabbos ein adoiches ha'Shabbos. Anything that could have been done vis-a-vis the circumcision on Friday, you cannot do it on Shabbos. She'efshu la'aso yisoh me'erev Shabbos, something that could not have been done on Friday. For example, the actual circumcision, if the date falls out, the eighth day of the child's life comes out on a Shabbos. In other words, a child was born on Shabbos, so there is no option as far as the Mila is concerned doing it any other earlier day. The date is Shabbos. So then, Doiches HaShabbos, that will override Shabbos. As we look ahead in the Gemara, we notice a new marking, a diamond. This introduces a couple of questions. The opening question it concerns that which Reb Elezer said, and likewise the following question deals with what we saw in the Mishnah. So now let's see the first question. First question is itself a long question, as our marking indicates. Ibayalaho, Taimo de Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer said that if they didn't bring the knife Erev Shabbos, it must be brought exposed. What is the reason for this? And there are two possibilities, as you can see through our markings, Aleph, and then O Dilma is squiggle underline, Beis. Do we say Mishum Chibuve Mitzvah, to show how we are so fond and love the mitzvah, to demonstrate our love of the mitzvah, that it's so important that one can violate Shabbos over it? Oldilmo mishum chashoda. Or is the need for exposing the knife so as to avoid suspicion of carrying some other item other than something related to the Mila? At this point, we have a brackets in the Gemara. This brackets is, the purpose is to indicate that the basic question has been asked. Within the brackets, the Gemara will be asking what difference does it make. However, the issue is what is the reason for the exposure clause in the Mishnah. Following the brackets, the Gemara will proceed to answer the question. So that having been said, we continue with the Gemara. Lamai nafgamina, what will the practical difference be, whether you say it's to demonstrate our love of the mitzvah, or to avoid suspicion? So the answer is, la'asuya mechusal pi'edim, to bring the knife covered with the knowledge of witnesses of what's under the cover. I amris mishum chibuvei mitzvah. If you say that the reason for the exposure clause in the Mishnah is to, as a demonstration of our love of the mitzvah, Rashi says in the in his commentary, mishum chibuv mitzvah lodiya shechaviva mitzvah alav, to show how beloved the mitzvah is, shemechal Shabbos alav, that we even violate Shabbos for this mitzvah, which is something very unusual. So, if that's the reason, meguleim mechuselo, then it must be exposed, because that is the way we demonstrate our fondness of the mitzvah. It's a form of, let's say, public declaration. Elo iamres mishum chashoda, if the whole reason for leaving the knife open is to avoid suspicion, then afilu mechuse shapir domi, then even if it were covered, that will be also an effective means of avoiding suspicion. Witnesses will be able to testify what is under there, and he won't be suspect of being a Shabbos violator. My, so what is the reason for the exposure featured in the Mishnah? Answer, Itmar Omar Rabbi Levi, Lo Omra Rabbi Lozer Elo, Lechibuve Mitzvah. Rabbi Levi tells us that Rabbi Lozer's din in the Mishnah is only for the demonstration of the importance and fondness we have for the mitzvah. Tanya Nami Hochi, a Tanaic source, supports this. Mevio Megula, the Ein Mevio Mechusa, Divrei Rabbi Elezer. The fact that this source adds Ein Mevio Mechusa means you don't have the covering option. As we saw in the presentation of the question, and that is, if it were just a matter of avoiding suspicion, then the covering option exists. Cover it with the knowledge of witnesses. But you see here that option doesn't exist. Hence, the purpose of bringing the knife Megula is as a demonstration, a public demonstration of how fond we are of the mitzvah, Chibuv mitzvah. Omar Ravashi, Masnisanami Daiko, careful reading of the Mishnah will also reveal this. Dikotoni, the Mishnah says, Ubishasa Sakona Mechaseo Api Eidim, when there is danger to the Jewish people because of Gentile rulings, then cover it with the knowledge of witnesses. Bisakona in, Shalo Bisakona lo, only if there is danger, then the covering option arises. If it's not shasa sakon, if it's not a time of danger, then the covering option is not available. Shma mino mishum chibuvei mitzvah. We can conclude from our Mishnah that the exposure clause is for demonstration purposes of how important and fond we are of this mitzvah. So shma mino, that is conclusive. Tanya Idach, we have another source, Meviu Megula Ve'ein Meviu Mechusa, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. One brings the knife exposed and not covered. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Rabbi Omer Mishum, Rabbi Eliezer, Noagin Hoyu Bishasa Sakono, Shoyu Meviin Mechusa Alpi Edim. Rabbi mentions in the name of Rabbi Eliezer that when there were rulings against the practice of circumcision, then the covering option arises. That's when covering is practiced with the knowledge of witnesses. Ibaya Laho. Another question regarding that which we saw in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah makes reference to witnesses, Edim de Ka'omar, the Edim featured in the Mishnah, Ihu V'chad, is it one outside witness plus the person carrying the knife? Oidilma hu utre, or is it the person carrying the knife and two other witnesses? So is it one other or two others? Toshma, the Mishnah said, ubesakona mechaseu api edim. When there is danger, so we cover it with the knowledge of witnesses. And the word edim is in the plural. Iamris bishlma hu utre shapir. If you say it's the person carrying it and two others, so then the plural expression edim makes sense. Elo iamris hu v'chad, the one carrying the knife and one other, then my edim, why does the plural appear? It should just say, when there's a time of sakana, you cover it al pi aid, with the knowledge of one witness, and of course, the one who's carrying it knows about it. The Gemara rejects this method of logic and says, shiru'uyim lohoyed b'mokom acher. It could very well be covering it with the knowledge of one other witness and the one carrying it. The one carrying it plus that one other witness could serve in a different context as two witnesses, and hence the term edim in the plural is appropriate even here if it's just one other person that knows about the knife that's being covered. The Ode Omar Rabbi Lazar Tonu Rabbonan. We have a Tanaic source that mentions two unrelated practices. B'mekomo sh'Rabbi Eliezer hayu korsim eitzim, in the locale of Rabbi Eliezer, they would cut wood on Shabbos. Lasos pechomim, for the purpose of making coals. Lasos barzel, for the making of the metal circumcision knife. B'Shabbos, all this on Shabbos. So you have the violation of Shabbos, or the overruling of Shabbos by the preparatory stages, and I emphasize here preparatory stages leading up to the circumcision. In other words, not only the circumcision itself is strong enough to violate, to supersede, overrule Shabbos, but even the preparatory stages leading up to the circumcision, if you must do a malacha, you can do it. That's Rebbe Lezer's opinion, and that's what was practiced in his locale. B'mekomo shor Rebbe Yossi Haglili, hoyu oichlin basar oif b'cholav. In Rebbe Yossi Haglili's region, where he was the leader, they practiced a leniency, and that was eating bird meat. Let's say, for simplicity purposes, we say chicken with milk. In other words, the concept of basar b'cholav, of the prohibition of cooking meat and milk together, does not apply, according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, to bird meat. Levi ikla lebei Yosef Rishba. Levi visited the house of Yosef the trapsman. Karivu le resha de tafsa b'chalva. They served Levi, head of a tafsa, a type of bird that was cooked in milk. Type of, we'll call it, instead of having soup with soup nuts, this was a dairy soup with bird heads in it. Lo ochal, and Levi didn't consume it. Yeah, he was against eating bird meat and milk together. He also lekame to Rebbe. When Levi came to Rebbe and told him this story, Omar Le, Rebbe asked, Amai lo tishamtinu, why didn't you put them in chirim? Why didn't you excommunicate them? After all, they're violating the serious offense of meat and milk. Omar Le, so Levi answered, Asrei d'Rabbuda ben Beseira have. The town I was visiting was a town under the leadership of Rabbuda ben Beseira, Ve'amino, and I figured, Dilma dorash lehu Rabbi Yossi Haglili. It might be that Rabbuda ben Beseira had ruled to his community in the spirit of Rabbi Yossi Haglili's teaching, Disnan. Rabbi Yossi Haglili Omer, Rabbi Yossi Haglili says, Ne'mar loy sochlu kol nevela. That's one pasuk. V'ne'mar, and it says in the same context of the prohibition of eating nevela, it says, lo sevashel gdi b'chalev imo, the prohibition of eating meat and milk. And from the juxtaposition of psukim, he concludes, Es she'osir mishum nevela, osir levasha b'chol, that which carries with it, that kind of meat that carries with it a nevela prohibition, that's the type of meat that ordinarily would require slaughtering. If something went wrong with the slaughtering or the animal died, it's then called a nevela. So meat that requires slaughtering, osir levashel b'cholov, cannot be cooked in milk. This would exclude, for example, something like fish. Fish is not something that carries with it a potential nevela prohibition. Therefore, it wouldn't be prohibited from the Torah to be cooked with milk. What about birds? Oif she'osir mishum nevela. A dead bird or an improperly slaughtered bird is considered nevela. Yachol yehe osir levashel b'cholav. Could it be that meat, chicken meat and milk cannot be cooked together? Talmud Lomar, b'chalev imo. The pasuk speaks about the mother's milk. Yotza oif she'en lo cholav eim. To the exclusion of a bird that does not have milk. Birds are not nursing creatures. So that from the fact the pasuk in the meat and milk issue mentions mother's milk, that excludes birds. So that birds are not included in the prohibition of meat and milk, as far as Rabbi Yossi Haglili is concerned. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, Ir achas hoysa b'eretz Yisrael, shohoyu oisim kribal ozer. There was a city in Israel that was unique in that it followed the ruling, the lenient ruling of Rebbe Lozer. V'hoyu meisim bizmanam. People there lived out their lives till the end. They died at the right time, as opposed to premature deaths. V'lo'od ela shepamachas gozer machus rosh gzera Yisrael amila. Not only that, but there was an occasion when the evil empire, the Roman Empire, ruled against circumcisions. V'al'usayir lo gozer, and their restriction did not apply to that city. So you see, Rabbi Yitzchok's testimony or his report about a place that follows a leniency isn't necessarily one who is going to lose out because of their leniency. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer. We have a topic heading that accompanies this section. On the side under our no say, we've written Eich Shekiblu Vekimu HaMitzvahs, the way that Jews accepted and fulfilled mitzvahs, Mashpia al Ha'asid, has an effect on the future. We'll see in by way of geometric shapes, triangles that appear in two directions as the Gemara continues, and under the Mivneh heading, we've noted that with the triangle point facing up, Chiyuvi, something positive, and with it flipped over, something negative. So the Gemara continues, Rav Shmuel Omer, Kol mitzvah, Shekiblu aleim b'simcha, kagon mila, any mitzvah that the Jewish people accepted on themselves with joy, like the mitzvah of mila. Dichtiv, the pasuk describes our attitude toward mila. It says, Sos anochi al imrosecha, kamotse shalol rov. Now this is a pasuk in Sefer Tehillim, which is a reference to the mitzvah of mila. And it's in describing, it says, sos is an expression of joy. I am joyful over imrosecha. Imrosecha is your singular teaching, your imra shelcha. And Rashi explains that when mila was given to the Jews, it was a singular mitzvah. There, it was given way before the rest of the Torah. It was given in the time of Avraham Avinu, when it was a singular mitzvah. So it's over that mitzvah, which is mitzvahs mila, we have exceptional joy. And the exceptional joy over it, Rashi explains, is that wherever a Jew is, this mitzvah accompanies him, as opposed to tefillin or tzitzis, which aren't with him at all times, whereas the circumcision is on the person at all times. So the Brit Mitzvah Mila, which was a source of joy from the very beginning, Adayin Oisin Oisa B'Simcha, we still practice it with joy. And Rashi says, we make a Mishta, we make a feast over the Mila. V'chol mitzvah shekiblu aleihem b'ktota, kegon arayas, the realm of mitzvahs that is included in, we'll call the realm of morality, as is the case of arayas, arayas are forbidden relations, and that mitzvah, this realm of morality that's featured by the forbidden relations, we accepted, but with strain. Ktata literally means fighting. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, "Vayishma Moshe es ha'om boichel mishpachosav," and Moshe heard the nation crying over the issue of families, al iske mishpachos, which is a reference to laws relating to families, the prohibition of wedding relatives, for example. So, adayin oisin oisa biktata, that mitzvah of marriage still is accompanied by strife. The leku ksuba de lo romu ba tigro, there is no ksuba. Ksuba is the marriage document that isn't accompanied with tigra. Tigra is a fight, strain, disagreements, etc. One might expand this idea to include the whole realm of shalom bayis, where the preservation of the family unit, the marriage entity, is something that is accompanied by strain in many, many families. Tanya, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, kol mitzvah shemosri Yisrael atzmon aleim lemisa b'shas gzeros hamalchus, all mitzvahs that the Jews were willing to give up their lives at the time of Gentile governmental rulings against those mitzvahs, kegoyin avodis kechovim umila, examples being idolatry and circumcision, adayin hi muhsekes biyodam, it still is strongly adhered to and carefully practiced to this day. The whole mitzvah shelo masru Yisrael atzmon aleim lemisa b'shas gzeros hamalchus, kegon tefillin, mitzvahs that Jews were not willing to sacrifice themselves for their preservation, for the mitzvah preservation, and the example cited is tefillin, adayin hi merupa biyodam, is still something that is not carefully adhered to the fullest extent. And the Gemara now attempts to illustrate this, even though it's not we have to, in learning this section of Gemara, we'll have to add the Tosfos commentary before we can really appreciate what the Gemara is trying to demonstrate. But the Gemara is going to try to show that in the mitzvah tefillin, so there wasn't the same level of mesiras nefesh, of willingness to outrightly give up one's life for the mitzvah. The Omer of Yanai, tefillin tzrichin guf noki ke'elisha baal knofayim. In order to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin, one has to be careful to have a clean body, like Elisha baal knofayim. The clean body, Rashi points out, is that one should not pass wind while wearing tefillin. Rashi on this point says, the Omar Rabbi Yanai, tefillin sriches guf noki, optimally, tefillin requires a clean body, shelo yofiach, that he shouldn't pass wind. Alma lo zihiri behu, we see from this that people are not careful with it. V'shamino mino delo masru alei elo Elisha levado. And we see from this Gemara that no one was willing to risk themselves for it other than Elisha. Now that's the Rashi pshat. And so hence, the Elisha Baal Kanafayim incident demonstrates how others were not willing to risk themselves for the mitzvah, as opposed to other kinds of mitzvahs like Milan of Eschovim, which we find people en masse giving up their lives for the fulfillment of those mitzvahs. So the Gemara asks, "My he, what is this? What's this reference to a guf noki?" Omar Abaye, shelo yofiach bahen, one should not pass wind while wearing tefillin. Rava Omar, shelo ishan bahen, one should not sleep wearing them. And as Rashi seems to indicate, that this is what is really expected, but it's not that carefully practiced. And that's what the source mentioned, that it's adayin hi meruba. Meruba means it's still weak, biyadam, in their hands. In other words, the fulfillment of these mitzvahs is done, but in a weak fashion. The amai, the Gemara continues, v'amai korule elisha ba'al knafayim. Why is the person featured in this Gemara, that which Rav Yanai pointed out, why is he called Elisha, the man of wings? Shepamachas gozro malchus rosho gzero al Yisrael. Once the Romans issued a ruling, shekol hameniach tefillin al rosho, anyone who puts tefillin on his head, yakru is mocho, they will gouge out his brains. Vehoya Elisha miniach tefillin, and this Elisha wore tefillin at that time, v'yotze l'shuk, and went out to the market. He was unafraid. V'ro kasdor echod, and a soldier saw him. Rots milafonov, and Elisha ran. V'rots achrov, and this soldier pursued him. Kevon shigia etzlo, when the soldier approached, notlon meirosho, v'ofson biyodo. Elisha whipped off the tefillin from his head and held them tightly in his hand, in his closed hand over the tefillin. As far as the size of the tefillin are concerned, we can just assume that we're dealing with very small tefillin that one's hand would close upon them. Amalei mai biyadach, the soldier asked, "What's in your hands?" Amalo kanfei yoina, dove wings are in my hands. Poshel es yado v'nimsa. And he opened his hands, and lo and behold, there were dove feathers in his hands. As a result of this miracle, he is called the Baal Kunafayim. The Tosfos says, and this is in contrast to Rashi, Omale, this Elisha responded, Kanfei Yonah, Hare, Shalomoser Atzmo, Lomar Tfilin Hain. He didn't risk himself to say, "Oh, what I have in my hand are tefillin." To stand in an outright opposition, but rather try to cover up what he had. So, as far as Tosfos is concerned, this is a demonstration of someone who, obviously, a very righteous individual that was worthy of having this miracle take place, but he wasn't willing to risk himself to the fullest extent. And that's what the source was saying, that the Jews were not moiser atzmon b'shas gzeros hamalchus over this mitzvah. The Gemara asks, "Ma'ishno kanfei yona d'omerle v'lomerle shar oifos?" What motivated Elisha to choose a dove as the example for that which he was holding, and not other birds? Mishum d'damio kenes Yisrael yona, because the Jewish people are compared to the dove. Shinemar, the pasuk says, "Kanfei yoina nechpa b'kesef evrusel b'irakrak chorutz." The pasuk in Tehillim is describing the Jewish people as a dove. Ma yona zu kenofel megino salel, just like the dove has no other means of protection other than the flapping of its wings. It doesn't use its beak nor its talons. It's only source of defense is its wings. Af Yisrael, so to the Jewish people, the only source of preservation of the Jewish people are mitzvahs meginas aleihem. The fulfillment of mitzvahs is that which protects us. And all of you can rest assured that it's a very, very effective means of protection for the Jewish people in their, is the only people that has survived all these generations through so much pursuit and attempts at genocide, unlike any other people of the world. There are other ancient peoples in the world, but they were not run around the world to its four corners in pursuit with genocidal desires as the Jewish people. And so what is it that has protected the Jewish people? It's their performance of mitzvahs, which of course arouses the divine intervention at all times. Omar Rabbi Abba bar Rav Ado Omar Yitzchok. Pamachas shochu v'lo hiviu Izmael Mayor of Shabbos, there was an occasion that a person forgot to bring the circumcision knife, the Ismael, the Mila knife, from Friday to where the Shabbos bris was going to take place, and they brought it on Shabbos, but they didn't bring the knife through the main street. In other words, they didn't take the knife from the house where it was kept through the Rishus Harabim to the Mila site, but rather they brought it Derech Gagos V'Derech Chatzeros Shelo B'Rotzon Rebbe Eliezer. They brought the knife skipping over roofs and courtyards till they eventually got to where the circumcision would take place. And what Rabbi Yitzchok is reporting to us is that this was done Shelo B'Rotzon Rebbe Eliezer, against the will of Rebbe Eliezer. The Gemara now asks a question. This question lasts a number of lines, and we'll notice some double underlines that appear in the Gemara, and we've noted on the side that these are Shlavim, Bakusha Ubahesber, question stages in the question and the explanation. Ha de Ka'omar Shehevio Shelo B'Rotzon Rebbe Eliezer. What does that phrase mean? So the Gemara asks, Maskif lo Rav Yosef, Shelo B'Rotzon Rebbe Eliezer. They brought the knife to the circumcision site on Shabbos. You're telling me against Rebbe Eliezer's will? Adarab Rezer Hu Deshori. Rebbe Eliezer is the one who is lenient. Rebbe Eliezer is the one that says that if they didn't bring the Mila knife Erev Shabbos, they can bring it on Shabbos. So what do you mean? What does Rabbi Yitzchok mean when he says they brought a Shelo B'Rotzon Rebbe Eliezer? V'chitemo, you might say, Shelo B'Rotzon Rebbe Eliezer D'Shori Afiyu B'Shus Rabim, that it wasn't with the approval of Rebbe Eliezer, in the sense that Rebbe Eliezer allows it to be brought forthright through a public thoroughfare, and they didn't do that. Elo B'Rotzon Rabbanon, but we would infer that it was brought through the acceptance of the Rabbonin, the Osru Derech Rishus Rabbim, Vishoru Derech Gagos, Derech Hatzeres V'Karpifos. The Rabbonin would prohibit the public thoroughfare, but would allow bringing the knife over rooftops and courtyards and other Karpifos enclosed areas. But that also is not true. Umishori. Would the Rabbonin allow that? V'hotanya, the Rabbonin are an extreme opposite opinion of Rebbe Eliezer and wouldn't allow it being brought even through these non-Torah domains. We didn't mention this earlier, but the idea of bringing the knife in the roundabout fashion from where it was stored through roofs and courtyards, that is a method of bringing the knife to its destination without violating a Torah Isur Hotzah, Torah prohibition of Hotzah, because carrying from a house to a courtyard to a roof, it doesn't involve going from one type of domain to another type domain on a Torah level. They are all non-public thoroughfares. And this is something that the Rabbonon would allow. That's not true. Well, Mishori V'Hatanya, the source says, Kishem Shem Mavin and Oysu Derech Rishus Rabbim, just like one cannot bring the knife, according to the Rabbonon, through a public thoroughfare, in other words, from a private domain through a public thoroughfare, Kach Ein Mavin Oso, Lo Derech Gagos, V'Lo Derech Karpifos, V'Lo Derech Hatzeros. Likewise, you cannot even violate a rabbinic hotzah prohibition of going from a house through a roof, through other types of enclosed areas. The Rabbonon, as we said, are an extreme opposite to Rebbe Eliezer, where even if all that would be involved would be a rabbinic prohibition, you still cannot, if you didn't bring the knife Erev Shabbos, forget it. You're not going to be able to do the Mila on Shabbos in the absence of having brought the knife from Friday. So once again, we still don't have clarity on the story that Reb Yitzchok reported that indicated they brought the knife not through the Rishus Rabbim, but through Gagos and Chatzeros. And he said they brought it Shelo B'Rotzon Rebbe Eliezer. against his will, implying, but with the approval of someone else. We haven't found anyone like that. Now, the answer. Ela Omar Ravashi. So, as you can see, this is another stage in clarifying the expression, Shelo Brosim Rosar. Ravashi says, Shelo Brosim Rosar, Umach Lu Koso. Ela Berotzim Rabbi Shimon. What was meant is they brought the knife from the house where the knife was kept through courtyards and rooftops. That was, in fact, not with the approval of Rabbi Lozer, nor with those that disagree with him. Both, it was their method was against both extremes. They brought the knife, they did bring the knife, but through rabbinic realms. That's unlike Rabbi Lozer, who would have allowed going even through the public thoroughfare, and that's also unlike Machlukuso, those that argue with Rabbi Lozer, the Rabbonon, who wouldn't allow any bringing. So, fine, we understand against whose will they operated, and the Gemara also adds, Ravashi adds, but it was with the approval of Rabbi Shimon. Disnan, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Echod Gagos, Vechod Karpifos, Vechod Chatzeros, Kulon Rishus Echod Hain, Lekelim Shishovsu Besochon. These realms, rooftops, karpifs, enclosed areas, and courtyards, are considered one domain with respect to vessels that were in them at the entrance of Shabbos. As Shabbos entered, the vessel was in one of these domains. You can carry that vessel freely from one of these domains to the other. They're considered one continuum, one legal entity. However, velo lekelim sheshovsu beso chabayis. However, you would not be allowed to carry vessels that were in a house, which is considered a totally private domain, and carry from a house to one of these domains, the Gagos, Karpifos, and Chatzeros. Toisus points out in Dibor Masul Lekelim Sheshovsu Lesocho that the knife in the story that Rabbi Yitzchok had reported was in fact in one of these domains. It was in a gag or a carpet for chotzer, and they brought it to the milah site, which also took place in one of these domains. If any of you are having some difficulty appreciating the points that we've discussed here, it's quite understandable, and that is because a lot of information is found in Maseches Eruvin in order to appreciate what we have learned. Rashi gives a great deal of background, but from my experience, if you're not familiar with these concepts from other areas of study, even the Rashi might appear to be a bit difficult. That having been said, we have at least a sense of what took place, and let's go over what we saw. Rabbi Yitzchok reported a story where a Mila knife was brought from one point to another, from where it was kept to the Mila destination. It was brought on Shabbos, and the method, or the route they took in bringing the knife, involved carrying it from one spot to another, but avoiding going through a public thoroughfare. This approach was a sort of, we'll call it an interim or an intermediary approach, not taking advantage of Rebbe Lozer's extreme leniency, nor worrying about the extreme restriction of the Rabbanan, but rather they followed the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who would allow the carrying of the item that was kept on Shabbos. It was kept in one of these areas, a gag, carpet, for chotzer, and hence carried from there to another similar domain on Shabbos. As we say, that would be with the approval of Rabbi Shimon. We continue in the Gemara with a long question, as the marking indicates. We also have a topic heading that mentions that this topic, this nosei on the side of the Gemara, ad kuf lamed aleph omed aleph. In other words, we'll have a discussion that lasts a fair amount of time. We've entitled this Tiltul Kalim Shishovsu Besoch Movu Shelo Nishtat Fubo, the carrying of vessels within an alleyway that a Shituf Muvois had not been made. A word of background is necessary for this section of Gemara. And what we're about to say is subject to, we'll say, different opinions, and some points need to be adjusted as one learns through this topic in other areas. But as far as general pointers are concerned, there is a perception of an alleyway, which is maybe referred to as a cul-de-sac. It's a street, a dead-end street that has courtyards and houses opening into it. And as we say, dead-end, meaning it's closed on three sides with one entrance to a public thoroughfare, the fourth open side opening to a public thoroughfare. That's called a movui. There's a concept of shituf muvos that we want to mention in our introduction. A more common term is eruv chatzeros. And eruv chatzeros is the legal joining of private domiciles with semi-private courtyards. In other words, you would have a situation of several houses or apartments that open to a courtyard. All of these areas on a Torah level are called a Rishus HaYochid. They're all enclosed areas. However, being that there is a difference between them, so the Rabbonon said you cannot carry items from a house into a courtyard because of a rabbinic guard against carrying from houses into true public areas, streets and thoroughfares. So a rule was made that you cannot carry from a house into a courtyard, the courtyard resembling in a manner of speaking a public area, unless you make an eruv whereby the different house owners would join together, each one contributing some food, creating a single entity. They're joining together. That's called an eruv. They mix themselves together, forming a single entity, so that the courtyard and the houses are not viewed as different, but rather as one single entity. The joining together accomplishes that. The same concept can be extended from the courtyards to the movui. As we said, the courtyards open to the movui. In order for the movui to be an area that one would be allowed to carry from the houses, or more accurately, from the courtyards into the movui and vice versa, there would be a need to join together. The word shituf muvoi, shituf shutfis, is a partnership, so that the different courtyard citizenry would join together. They would contribute food. All the different courtyards that open to the movui would contribute some food and store the food together in one of the courtyards, forming a joining together to create a single entity, thereby allowing for the carrying from courtyards to the movui. That's by way of background. Now, in our introduction, we mentioned the carrying of vessels that were found in a movui where a shituf was not made. Now, being that the shituf was not made, so I understand at the outset that you cannot carry from the courtyards items that were kept in the courtyards into the movui and vice versa. That I understand. The issue that the Gemara will deal with is the carrying of vessels in the movui itself, from one end of the movui to another end of the movui. As we all know, you cannot carry in a public thoroughfare more than Dalet Amos. What about carrying within a movui where a shituf was not made? The Gemara opens, as we said, with a long question. Following the long question, we will see Rav Asi dealing with this on another occasion. Also, a piece of Gemara that takes a number of lines. So, pay attention to the markings indicating the length of these different points. So, we open with the question, Bo Aminei Rabbi Zera Mir Rav Asi. Rabbi Zera asks, of Rav Asi, Movui Shiloi Nishtat Fubo, an alleyway where the joining together of the different courtyards did not take place. Mahu L'taltel B'kulo, can one carry in the Movui vessels that were found at the outset of Shabbos in that Movui? Again, we're not talking about carrying from the Movui to the courtyards, but carrying within the Movui itself. Is there any restriction? As we've seen before, two sides of the question. You notice the Aleph here, and a few lines later, there's a squiggle underlined, Oi Dilma, Beis. Mi Amrinon Kechotzer Domi. Do we say that we view the alley as we would view a chotzer, a courtyard? Ma chotzer afagav delo irvu. The rule of a chotzer is that even though an eruv chotzeris, which was the joining together of the houses opening to a courtyard, in the absence of an eruv, mutter l'taltel b'kulo, one is allowed to carry within the courtyard vessels that were in the courtyard when Shabbos set in. You can carry those vessels within the entire courtyard. Again, not from the courtyard into the houses, but within the courtyard itself, there's no restriction. Hi, Nami, the Movui. Afagav de lo nishtat fubo, even though the shituf was not made, mutter l'tata b'kulo. You can carry within the Movui itself, without restriction. Oy Dilma, loy domi lechotzer, or maybe the Movui is not like the chotzer. There are differences, and the Gemara points out what those differences are. The chotzer islay arba mechitzas. The chotzer is an area we could be more lenient in that it has four walls. It's surrounded on four sides, making it a more lenient or private area, allowing for more carrying possibility. Hi, the Movui, less lay arba mechitzas. The Movui is open on the fourth side. It does not close on four sides. Inami, chotzer is lay diurin. Another fundamental difference is that a chotzer has dwellers that live right off of the chotzer in the houses, and hence that makes the chotzer something that is used on a regular basis. It's, as Rashi says, asuyu lishtamish botodir. It's made for constant use. High less bay dear. The Movui doesn't have people living off of it. As we described before, the Movui is an alleyway that opens into courtyards, and only from the courtyard do you eventually get into the houses. So the question has been presented to Rav Asi. Shosik velo omarle velo midi. Rav Asi was quiet and did not respond. Zimnin ashkichei, on another occasion, Rabbi Zerahu, we just saw asked the question, he found Rabbi Zera, the Yosef Viko Omar, and heard Rav Asi holding forth as follows. And as we noted, this is a long Rav Asi statement. What did Rav Asi say? Omar Rav Shimon ben Lakish Mishum Rav Yudah Hanosi. Rav Asi tells that Reish Lakish once said in the name of Rav Yudah Hanosi, Pam Achaz Shochav Laviu Yismael Me'er of Shabbos. On an occasion, There was an incident where they forgot to bring the Milo knife from Friday to the site where the circumcision, the Shabbos circumcision, was going to take place. The Eviu b'Shabbos, and they brought the knife on Shabbos. V'yadover koshel chachomim, and this troubled the rabbis. Heich menif and divrei chachomim v'oisin kribalozer. How can they bring the knife, thereby abandoning the chachomim who were restrictive, and following the singular opinion of Rebbe Lozer, who was lenient? And what particularly bothered them? Chada de Rebbe Lozer shamuti. One point is that Rebbe Lozer was shamuti. One opinion of shamuti means he was from the school of Beis Shammai, which is a school of halacha that we don't generally follow when it comes to halacha. Another opinion is that Rebbe Lozer was someone who had been excommunicated, and we shouldn't follow his rulings. V'oid Yochid for Rabbim, Halacha for Rabbim, and even if Rabbi Elazar was not, like we just mentioned, Shamuti, but nevertheless, he represents a singular opinion of leniency against the majority opinion that would not be lenient. And when you have a Yochid for Rabbim, Halacha for Rabbim, we follow the majority opinion. The Oma Rabbi Shaya, and Rabbi Shaya said to those that were troubled by their bringing of the knife on that occasion, Shiva says, Rabbi Yehuda HaGozer, I asked Rabbi Yehuda the Gozer. The Gozer means he was the Moyel, he was the circumciser. The Omarli, and he explained, Movui Shelo Nishtatfu Bo Hava. The story where they brought the knife was an issue of an alleyway where there had been no Shituf made, no joining together. The Aisuhu Mehai Reisha Lahai Reisha, and they carried the knife from one end of the Mavui to the other end of the Mavui. In other words, there was no carrying of the knife from the house to the Mavui, and or from the Mavui into the house, but it was rather brought from one end of the Mavui, where it was found at the beginning of Shabbos, to another end of the Mavui where the Mila was going to take place. And, well, with that in mind, so what do we see from this whole Rav Asi presentation? Up till this point is Rav Asi's presentation. We see that in such a case, it is certainly allowed, and there's no reason to object. Namely, this was Rav Shaya's response to those that were all upset about their having carried the knife. He said to them, take it easy. No major or even minor violation took place, because all they did was carry from one end of the Mavui to the other, not moving from one domain to another. So what do we see? We see that Rav Asi's approach to the question of Movu Shalunishtatfu Bo, can you carry vessels in it? The answer is certainly you can. Omar Le, Rabbi Zera now, asks Rav Asi, Svira Le Lamor, Movu Shalunishtatfu Bo Mutir Latata Bekulo, are you of the opinion that a Movui, that no Shituf had been made, you can nevertheless carry within the entire alleyway? The Omar Le, and Rabbi Asi responded, in, yes, that's what I hold. Omar Le, Rabbi Zera says back, for Zimnin Boi Minoch, on other occasions I asked this of you, Velo Amris Li Hochi, and you didn't say to me thusly, Dilmo Agav Shitfoch Rohit Loch Gamroch. Maybe the reason here in this last incident you had clarity in it is Agav Shitfoch, through your running through the topic, Agav Shitfoch, through your, literally, your flow, so Rohit Loch Gamroch, your learning, your tradition had come to you more clearly. In other words, there is a difference between asking someone a question, putting him, so to speak, on the spot, out of the clear, as opposed to someone who is in the middle of discussing a particular topic where the same information will come to you easily because you're running through the topic, as opposed to being asked something point blank. So this is what Rav Zera was suggesting for Rav Asi, why on other occasions when I asked you the issue of Movu Shalishtafu Bo in a point blank fashion, you didn't answer. And here, where I overheard your lecture, and you held forth on the very same point with clarity. Omale, so Rav Asi says, in, exactly as you said, Agav Shitfo Rahita Li Gamri, that through my flow and holding forth on the topic, so my learning came back to me, or it was clear with me. Itmar, Omar Rebbe Zera, Omar Rav, Movui Shalunishtafu Bo Ein Metaltalin Bo Ela Ba'arba Amos. This is a new opinion on the same topic. That is, that in a Movui that no Shituf was made, you cannot carry more than 4 Amos. You're restricted to a very small area of carrying. Omar Abaye, Ha Milsa Omra Rebbe Zera. This was said over by Rabbi Zera. As you can see, we underlined his name just 2 lines up. He quoted Rav. v'lo pirsha, and it was not explained when are things also when are things mutar ad also rabo bar avua upirsha, until rabo came and explained it. The omar Rav Nachman, omar rabo bar avua, omar rav. And again, we're going to relate to the same issue, movui shelo nishtatfu bo, a movui where no shituf was made. 2 points. Aleph, irvu chatseros im botim ein metatlin bo elo ba'arba amos. As we mentioned earlier, the movui was an alleyway opening into courtyards, courtyards in turn opening into houses. So Rabbah explains, quotes Rav as saying that if in that movui where no shituf was made, the houses had joined together with the courtyards, so then you cannot carry, then you have that movui restriction of 4 amos. However, lo irvu chaseros im botim, if the houses did not join with the courtyards, mutter letaltel bekulo, then you can carry within the movui itself unrestricted. This is quite obscure. Why the difference? So, as the Gemara continues, a new geometric form is introduced, and on the side we have our mivnah, our structural note, the trapezoid or volcano shape is going to appear in two opposite directions as the Gemara unfolds. We call this a ma'akav. This is an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take style of the Gemara. So with the narrow part facing upwards, these are shalos, these will be questions, and when flipped around, responses, and this will continue back and forth as we go on in the Gemara. So the Gemara opens with a question, and note that this is a long question. Omar le Rav Chanina choizo le Rabo. So Rav Chanina asks Rabo, my shno, what difference is there ki irvu chaseros im botim, when an eruv chaseros is made joining the chotzer with the botim, with the houses, the nisku chaseros v'nasu botim, in your mind's eye it's as if the chaseros were removed, were nullified and made into houses, they're botel to the houses, and therefore there's no real chotzer present anymore. And the definition of a movui is something that requires houses and chatseros to be present. So Rav Chanina is asking, and we have now a bracketed section that we'll skip initially. Rav Chanina is asking, what difference is there when an eruv chatseros with the houses is made, that we say that the chatseros are as if they are not there? Now the skip to the second line from the top of Kuf Lamed Aleph Omed Aleph. Kilo ervu, when no eruv was made, and you say then it's mutter to carry in the alleyway, nami, but in that case too, lechzinu lahani botim keman distimi, let us in our mind's eye view the houses in the absence of the eruv chatzeros as being sealed up houses, because you cannot carry in that case from the house into the chotzer nor vice versa. Let us view the houses kimandestimi domu, as if they are sealed up, the chatseros iko ubotim leka, and now you're left only with chatseros and no houses. So that if the restriction in the case of irvu chatseros in botim is because the chatseros are viewed as if they're not there anymore, because they're nullified, they become secondary to the houses, and a movui is not considered a movui unless it has houses and courtyards opening into it, and in the event that Erev Chatzeros is made, so we say that in our mind's eye, as if the Chatzeros are not there anymore because of their subservience to the houses. So even in the event that no Eruv was made, so then the houses are out of the picture, and I'm left only with courtyards. And a Movui is not considered a Movui that has any allowance unless it has both houses and courtyards opening into it. So to make things, just to reduce the question to its fine point, is what difference does it make whether an Erev Chatzeres was made or was not made? And yet, Rabbo Bar Avua, quoting Rav, said there is a difference. Now we have to go over this question, and we skipped the bracketed section. In the brackets, we have the definitions that we were using are spelled out. So four lines from the bottom, we go over the Gemara again. Omar Lei Rav Chanina Chizal the Rabbo. My shno, what difference is there? Ki irvu chaseris im botim. That in that case, in the Aleph case, we said then you have the movui four amo restriction, and that's because the nisku chaseris venasu botim, the chaseris are as if they're removed and become part of the houses, and there are no more chaseris in your mind's eye. The Rav litame, and Rav in ruling thusly would be consistent with what he said previously. The Amar Rav, Rav says, Ein hamovui nitar belefi v'koro, a movui does not become allowed for carrying in it, either through an upright post, a lefi, or a kora, a crossbeam, over the entrance or at the entranceway to the public thoroughfare. Ad shiu botim v'chatzeros psuchim l'soichai, unless you have houses and courtyards opening into the movui. V'hocha botim iko chatzeros lekon, here where an eruv chatzeros was made, joining the chatzer to the house, you would then, in your mind's eye, have only houses and no chatzeres, being that the courtyards became botel to the houses. Well, then, chi lo eruv nami, in the event that no eruv chatzeres was made, why there are you saying that the movui is allowed? But in that case, lechzinu lahani botem kemadis dimidomu, why not view the houses, being that there is no access between houses and courtyards because no eruv was made, so the houses in your mind's eye are as if they are sealed up. The chatzeros iko botem lecho, and then you have only chatzeros and you don't have houses. And in order for a movui to be allowed, we said you need to have both courtyards and houses. The Gemara answers, Esher de mevatli le reshusa de kulhu legabi chad. It is possible in the event that no eruv chatzerus was made, erev Shabbos, that all the homeowners could abandon or nullify their holdings, their houses, to one of the neighbors, to one of the homeowners. And that is another way of allowing the movement of vessels from the house to the courtyard. The Gemara asks, self, if that were done, true, in such a case, you have provided for the presence of a house where the other homeowners were mevatil their reshus to one homeowner. So we say it's true, he would be allowed to carry from his house to the chotzer because the others are viewed as if they're not there. So you have a singular ownership, which then doesn't confront any rabbinic restrictions because it's a singular ownership. You don't have this semi-public phenomenon anymore. But still, how is that a solution? Soif, bias, iko, botim leko. You have only one house, legally speaking, and we need a plural of houses, as we saw above. The Gemara answers, Efsher, the mitzafra v'ad palgadiyoma legabi chad, mitpalgadiyoma lefanya legabi chad. This idea of nullifying one's ownership could take place as follows. In the morning, all of the neighbors are mevatel their houses to one of the neighbors, and from noon to the end of the day, they are mevatel their houses to another neighbor, thereby creating a phenomenon of two houses over the course of the day. In other words, those two neighbors to whom they were mevatel their rishus, so they represent two houses over the course of the day. The Gemara asks, but still this isn't a solution. Self beidno diise lahai, lese lahai. At any given moment of the day, when one is present, the other is not. So you still don't have the plural phenomenon, the phenomenon of multiple houses. And just to repeat ourselves, for a mavui to be allowed, we're working with the assumption that it needs to have multiple courtyards and houses opening into it. Elo Omar Ravashi. Ravashi answers, this is a new approach. Mi goram lechatseros shiesru. What caused the courtyards to be a source of prohibition? Shiesru means that the courtyards should pose a restriction on the movui to require a shituf in the first place. Botim, it's the presence of the houses. Velecha, in the event that there is no Eruv Chatzeros, so the houses are out of the picture, and hence the Chatzeros don't pose a legal restriction to the Mavui. To appreciate this a bit more, let us look at the Rashi. Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines, Elo Omar Rav Ashi, Taimo Lav Mishum Botem V'Chatzeros Psuchas L'Soichehu. The restriction of the Mavui is not based on what we have been working with till now, the necessity of having multiple houses and chatzeros opening into it. The Rav, as far as Rav is concerned, bein irvu, bein lo irvu, mikivan de psichi shtei chatzeros lemovui. Once you have two chatzeros, two courtyards opening to a mavui, shnei botim lechol chatzer, and two houses per courtyard, toiras mavui olav. The rule of mavui applies. V'nita b'lechi v'kuro, and that kind of alleyway can be made allowed through the positioning of an upright post or a cross beam over the entrance to the mavui. V'hainu taimo d'chi irvu b'chatzeros v'lo nishtakfu b'movui osu l'taltabo v'chi lo irvu shori. And we'll now explain why, if they made an eruv chatzeros without a shituf uvos, the movui is osur, and if they did not make an eruv chatzeros, the movui will be allowed. Rashi continues, migorom l'chatzer shiasual amovui l'hatzricho shituf. What mechanism caused the need for the shituf lahotzi min hachatzeros l'socho, to be allowed to carry from the chatzeros into the movui? Botim hu degarmi lo. It's the fact that there were houses there that caused the chatzeros to pose a problem to the movui. The lav mishum botim. Had there been no houses there, havaluhu chatzerus umovui rishus achas, the chotzer, the courtyards, and the alleyway are really one legal entity. The Rav, the Omru Laha Milsa, Rav, who is the author of this section of Gemara, Kereb Shimon Spirle, he holds like Rabbi Shimon, the Omar Be'erevin, Gag v'chotzer v'karpu v'movui, Kulon Rishus Achas Hein, Umetatlun Mizeh Lazeh, being that they are considered one legal unit, you can carry from one to another. You can carry from a chotzer to a movui. The Omar Rav Allah, Haloch Reb Shimon, and Rav himself subscribes to that teaching of Reb Shimon. The Hu Shelo Irvu Botim in Chatzeros. That is all true, provided no Eruv was made between the houses and the courtyards. Why? The lo shchichi moni debotim b'chotzer, because when no eruv was made between the houses and the courtyards, so house vessels are not found in the chotzer. Hilkoch le'inyan tiltu b'socho nami. Therefore, regarding carrying things around within it, ki lo irvu chatzeros im habotim, if no eruv chatzeros was made with the houses, shori, there is no problem. Dahavalahu kamoshin ishtatfubo. It's as if then that the courtyards were joined with the mavui. The mi goram lo la mavui leaser uleitzdorech leshituf. What caused the mavui in the first place to be considered a restricted area and require a shituf? Botim gormulo vienom. Houses are what would have caused that. And that's a function of what we mentioned earlier. The house is considered a completely isolated private domain. And carrying from a house to a chotzer, to a movui, presents the rabbinic problem. But if no eruv chatzeros was made, so house articles are not going to be found in the chatzeros, and house articles would carry with it, we'll say, house definition of something totally restricted. But if no eruv was made, so the house is considered out of the picture. Sheharei nistalku mimenu, the houses are removed, legally speaking. Umutur lehoitzi min hachatzeros lemovui, with the house out of the picture, carrying from a chotzer to the mavui itself doesn't pose any restriction, and it would be as if there was a joining. In the case that an actual shituf had taken place, an actual joining of chatzeros with mavui, no one doubts the allowance of the permissibility of carrying within the mavui. So with this, we understand why the difference. When an Eruv Chatzeros is made, so house articles are found in the Chotzer, and we don't want house items to be found in the Movui, hence the restriction upon the Movui sets in the event, of course, that no Shituf was made joining Chatzeros to Movui. However, if no Eruv Chatzeros took place, in such a case, so house articles are not going to be found in the chotzer. In your mind's eye, the houses are out of the picture, and you're left only with chotzeros opening into a mavui, and the chotzer and the mavui is considered, they are considered one legal entity, as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned. Hence, there is no restriction because house articles aren't going to be on the scene, because you wouldn't have carried house articles into the chatzeros in the absence of an Eruv chatzeros. And with that, we understand the chiluk that was made initially that we saw in the name of Rav. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.